welcome to our service, our gathering. We'll begin with a prayer. Is there any requests you have this morning?
Lights on our throat.
Oh, yes. Are we missing them still? Wow. Oh, that's too bad. All right. Anyone else?
The White family.
Yeah, the White family. Yes. The funeral we attended yesterday. Cousin Wilbur, would you lead us in a prayer? Begin. Let's sing 24. Hey, before that, I want to do 56. Praise God from whom all blessings flow. Find my pitch pipe. So what we're going to have to do is use this little thing. Okay, what we're going to do is first of all sing it through, and then we're going to hum it through, sing it again. Okay? Everyone humming, remember, on your part, mouth closed, humming. And so we're going to sing it, then hum it, and then sing it again.
Praise God from whom all blessings flow. Praise Him, all creatures hear me well. Praise Him above ye.
When all Tender's coming in late.
Just you, soprano.
get that pitch back again. Got a new one. It might be new to you. 61. We're going to do your notes on this. There is no name so sweet on earth. And this is very simple because it just has a good marching rhythm here. You just keep on. Very easy to learn. This George Bethune, who wrote the words, the lyrics are the words. The lyrics, I used to think the lyrics were the music, but no, the lyrics are the words. George Bethune graduated from the Dickinson College in Carlisle, Pennsylvania. And I think it's so interesting, the place that I first heard this hymn and sang it often was in the mountains congregation right near Carlisle, Pennsylvania. And so that was Alfred, graduated from the college there. And he went on to be a pastor in the Dutch Reformed Church. And here's some beautiful words you want to sing.
Can I ask when he was born and died?
He graduated in 1822 at Dickinson College.
Yeah,
back there, long before the Civil War, about 40 years before the Civil War. And I'm going to tell you a story about William Bradbury, the writer of the music. Okay. You're going to like that story. Remember, on the left, when you look at a hymn, that's always the writer of the words, the author of the words, the poet up there. On the left, and on the right side, you have the composer of the music. Let's do the notes. Oh, same pitch as his heart there. So I got to think of Hark the Herald Angels. He mustn't do that. We gotta change gears here.
So do me do la la do la. So do me do mi re. So do me do la la do la. So do mi do re do. So la la la. So mi so.
Your harmony, all of you on the part. Notes again.
So.
soprano, alto to tenor. I didn't go with bass at all. They did fine. They got tired of that.
Okay.
I don't want to forget. Remind me, it was a tiny little story that's going to tell you, but we got to sing it first. You know, okay.
Onward. There is no name so sweet or earth, nor name so dear in heaven as that before is wondrous worth to Christ the Savior given.
Tell you a little another little story.
about William Bradbury. See him up there? He's the composer, William Bradbury. I'm going to wait to show you his picture until I read you this little story. Okay. Though fond of music from an early age, Bradbury was unable to devote much time to its study until age 17, when, with help from friends, he attended the Academy of Music in Boston, run by Lowell Mason and George Webb. They were two other hymn music composers. About this time, says Theodore Seward, quote, an incident occurred which was a great source of mortification, in other words, humiliation, for the young enthusiast. His parents, both of them old-fashioned singers, were, of course, greatly interested in their son's progress. He went home from school one night, full of ardor and excitement, and undertook to demonstrate the new method of singing and beating time. His gestures were so extravagant, swinging his arm nearly its whole length, that his parents were far more amused than edified. However, they restrained their mirth, not wishing to check his enthusiasm or spoil his enthusiasm. But at last, the scene became too much for them, and they burst into a peal of unresistible laughter. This was too much for the eager performer. His rapture was turned into fiery indignation, and slamming his book shut in a rage, he declared that they knew nothing at all about music and marched out of the room. That's good to be humiliated sometimes. And he should have laughed along with him. At least he didn't scold him. He could be glad for that. Another disappointment occurred in his first class for a singing school. After issuing many circulars and ads, little flyers and ads, he anticipated a great crowd, but at the specified time, not a single soul was there to greet him. After a while, a young man appeared, and still later, five more came to witness the embarrassment of the young teacher, who sat on the platform in clammy perspiration, quote, inwardly longing for some blessed knothole through which he might disappear. That's William Bradbury. Let's look at him here. Take a look at his picture. Trying to get it up so you can get a better. Oh, I'll just blow it up there. There he is. Doesn't he look like he can really go? It would have been good to know. He was his Victorian beard and everything. But he was back, of course, in the early 1800s. And I think he died right at the beginning of the Civil War, if I remember correctly. Let me get that for you. Okay, in 1868, okay, 3 years after the American Civil War passed away. And do you remember who he was contemporary, what famous poet he was contemporary with and wrote some, contemporary means at the same time. He wrote music at the same time as a poet was writing, and he wrote music for that poet's hymns sometimes, do you remember? Fanny Crosby, yes. Fanny Crosby wrote Blessed Assurance, Jesus Is Mine. And I think William Bradbury wrote that music. Actually, he composed the music, I believe, if I remember right. And he was there, maybe it was William Jones, but either one of them. And she said, she listened to the music and said, well, that says Blessed Assurance, Jesus Is Mine. And she just started writing as fast as she could. Had to quickly find a pencil for it. Somehow that pencil got into the book. Go ahead.
When was Fanny Crosby writing her music?
Anyone remember? It was back at near that same time. She lived the whole way up to close to 1900, didn't she?
She had about 12 or 15.
Okay. So, I think that's enough. God bless y'all.
So the assignment was pick three qualities that men or young men should have or get, and kind of tell why too. First thought about humiliation, be humble, and that sometimes is hard for me, but that, because if you're proud, it doesn't help you to like just to be humble so that you're not like above everyone's level and they don't want to be with you. But and then to be patient too. I think that's a good moral to have. Patience so that you can kind of endure when someone else is treating or doing something that you don't want or messing up your project. Just be patient with them. And the other, I thought, just having a work ethic so that you can help others, and so just to have a work ethic so you can help others and provide for your family. So that's all I have.
My first thought was work at making yourself better wherever you can, and work at your weakest spot, and try to look for opportunities to learn things all the time, and yeah, just try to better yourself all the time. And my second thought was just don't get caught up in things that aren't worth, you know, taking the time, or not worth, you know, don't get caught up in abstract things and stuff. Just worry about things that you need to worry about. And my third thought was, if you're gonna do something, be serious about it, and don't pretend that you're doing something and make people think that you're doing something when here you're not. Be serious. Like if you're gonna be a Christian, just be a real Christian. Don't do things halfway.
I got two verses here to sum up the assignment. It says in Corinthians, 1 Corinthians 16, verses 13 and 14, it says, "Be on the alert, stand firm in the faith, act like men, be strong." You need to just act like men, be strong, not just act like little boys and being silly and we need to act like men because that's what we are. Then it says, "Let all that you do be done in love."
There's a verse that says, "When I was a child, I thought like a child and acted like a child. But when I became a man, I put away that stuff." And a man should have moral excellence, and like, if he sees something that needs to be done for someone else, just do it and not think someone else should do it. And another thing is to be responsible. If someone gives you a job, make it that they can know you'll do it and not just hope he does or something. And then the next one was be merciful and let people off if they do something to you. Don't think you're going to get even with them later.
Be kind. Be kind, diligent, and resilient. Those are my three qualities I chose. And mainly because I need to work on those three. But kindness, because if we're kind to one another, that means we have to be thoughtful. And you know, just think about others in our daily life and how we can help them. And a deed of kindness, that's something that's always good. And you do it not to be recognized, but just like, oh, I need help with that, you know, and you just help them, and man, it's just a good thing. And that's what brothers and sisters do for each other. And then diligence, because
we need to persevere in this, you know, and that mindset of being helpful and kind to others. And then resilience, because when we fall and we fall short of what we want to be, we're able to spring back and to continue being a good person. Because we will have battles, and there'll be, you know, the devil will try to, and there'll be circumstances that try us, and so we need to be able to spring back and be that person that we're striving to be. And a couple of additional thoughts I have. I was thinking about how each one of us chose three qualities. That was the assignment. And I was thinking about how it doesn't matter what three qualities you choose, they always work in harmony together, because they all support our main goal, which is to love one another. And then I thought, well, wouldn't it be interesting if you get the opposite quality of one and put that in the mix, you know, replace it. Well, it just makes the whole thing go kaput, because, you know, if you're diligent and kind, but you're not resilient, you'll fail and you won't get back up. If you're kind and resilient, but not diligent, you know, it just doesn't work. But whenever all these qualities work together, they all work toward the same goal. So, oh, and I'll one more example. I thought about a soccer team, or, you know, like us boys or the girls too play volleyball. But I remember when we used to play soccer or kickball, and there'd be a king captain, and he would choose which person was fit for what job, you know. So that person was judging the qualities of these different players' abilities, and then setting those in order to hopefully, you know, make a good team. And so that's kind of a picture of the body of the church. We each have qualities that are stronger and weaker, but we can all work together and fill our spot and make a good team. So, Lord bless you all.
I thought about being patient, not slow to anger, and because anger never fixed anything, it just made things worse. And then I thought about being diligent, which is something that I need to work on and keep going, not just get tired of it and quit. And then I thought of a third one was humbling yourself and listening to the elders in the church, or if you're on a job or somebody that knows more than you, just listen to them, put yourself under them and listen to them.
I thought about a good quality to have is humility, and being able to respect those above you. Like Brother David said in the last sermon, he talked about if you can't respect those above you here on this earth, how are you going to respect and serve God? So, and then another one I thought about is merciful. Be forgiving and merciful. It's just, it'll make you better. And be forgiving and merciful to people. And if we don't be forgiving, merciful, then God won't be merciful to us. Then the third one I thought about, love, probably the most important one. I got a couple verses here in 1 Corinthians 13, verse 2 through 4. If I have the gift of prophesy and knowledge and mysteries and no knowledge, and if I have faith so as to remove mountains but do not have love, I am nothing. If I have given my possessions to feed the poor, and if I have surrendered my body to be burned but do not have love, it profits me nothing. Love is patient, love is kind, and is not jealous. Love does not brag and is not arrogant. And so we can have all these things, but if we don't have love, it won't work out.
thought of being humble, knowing to be quiet and listen to your elders, and being diligent, just be doing that at what I'm doing and just follow it through to the end. And then thought of being loving. I can tend to cut some people short sometimes and just don't give them enough slack, or just don't have enough patience, but the message work from it.
I thought about respect, patience, and being humble. And respect to my elders and listening, not always got to talk. And humble, for being having humility and not always being right, and just being humble. And patience, tend to run out of patience every now and then. I need to work on it.
We need to be kind and give when just give and be kind, and we need to help like when someone needs help, we need to help them, and we need to have courage and not just give up, and we need to keep on going. David has said different times that sometimes we get tempted to think that we have everything all figured out, and so we should just sometimes want to look at other people and tell them what all their problems are and how they should fix them and all. We should first make sure that we're doing right. And another thing is that if we're having trouble and we're not supposed to just be embarrassed to ask the brethren to help or anything. And another deal is, if we're learning, we should just, instead of trying to correct whoever's teaching us, we're supposed to just learn from them.
The things that man should learn is kind, honest, and faithful.
For next Sunday, like the thing, I have one or two things that you think.